Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN. Impossible.
I'm just getting warmed up.
Full of hijinks.
And look, I'm not your friend, so I'm not your friend. I'm your enemy.
And educational.
You sound like you're a moron.
It's What I Learned on TikTok, starring Gordon Damer.
Oh, people, it's that time. Yes, it is. It's time to play What I Learned This Week on TikTok. How it works, very simple. I, as a 53-year-old man, spend way too much time on that TikTok app, and it's because I learn interesting but yet completely useless information. So, to make it useful, we've crafted a little segment to give the guys on the show a little airtime today. It's Tom, it's Joe. No Harvey Cruz, he bailed out. He came up with some wedding that he's apparently going to, so he doesn't have to do this. But I'll give them four pieces of information, four possible answers, and they have to find out the one piece of information that's true. Three things completely made up, not true at all. One thing is true, and it's that one thing is something that I learned this week on TikTok. Now, Tom, this has been a very long run where you have not had to worry about this at all. You've been living the K show, all the premiere shows. Now you're back down to the dregs with us here on the Gordon Damer Show on the weekend. Are you going to be able to adjust and get back into this mindset?
We'll see, Gordon. It's been probably over a year at this point since I've last participated. Right. So I've been on cloud nine since then.
Oh, you've been living the high life. Poor Harvey Cruz has been taking the bullets.
Yeah, thankfully he's been deflecting those bullets for me. I thank him very much for that.
Yeah, and the bullets have not missed. His answers have missed, but all right, let's go. Are you batting leadoff, Tom? Are you going to go first?
Oh, sure, why not?
All right, here we go, Tom. Let's see which one I like for you. All right, I like this one, I think, better. Number one, Angela Lansbury of Murder, She Wrote fame was forced to move back to Ireland to force her daughter to break up with her deadbeat boyfriend. Her deadbeat boyfriend, Charles Manson. Number two, the cloned sheep Dolly. Remember poor Dolly? Essentially drank herself to death. Number three, the English Prime Minister Harold Heath, back in 1967, disappeared while swimming and is presumed dead. But in a weird twist, 12 years later, a British swimming center was named in his honor. Or number four, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon was intentionally created to synchronize perfectly with The Wizard of Oz. So to recap again, give Tom a little time to process here. Angela Lansbury got to move back to Ireland to have her daughter break up with her deadbeat boyfriend, Charles Manson. The cloned sheep Dolly essentially drank herself to death. Number three, the English Prime Minister Harold Heath died while swimming, drowned, but a weird twist, a British swimming center was named in his honor. Or number four, Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon synchronizes perfectly with The Wizard of Oz.
All right. So you've hit the sweet spot because I like these because some of these have a very dark twist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's trending in that direction. I realize this when I look back and kind of get a little perspective on things, but I digress.
Hey, I have no problem with the dark twist.
Okay.
With that in mind,
uh-huh,
I'm going to go with swimming center as my guess.
Swimming center. Prime Minister Harold Heath disappeared while swimming. Lock it in.
Oh, yeah.
All right, locked in. No, that's it. That's actually true of a Australian prime minister. I don't remember his name, but it's not about Harold Heath.
Damn.
So that is incorrect. So now you got three. You got Angela Lansbury and Charles Manson together. You got the cloned sheep Dolly or Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon.
All right. Let's go with the Dolly for this next one.
Dolly.
That's going to be my second guess. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, locked in. That is also incorrect. That would be something though if Dolly like somehow gained knowledge about her situation and just ended it all in a very dark way. No, that's not true. Dolly, I think it was congestive heart failure. So,
okay.
Also not good, but it's not drinking yourself
today. No, not at all. Okay, so
now you're down to Angela Lansbury and Pink Floyd.
50-50 shot.
Yep.
So, I'm going to go with the one that sounds possibly the most realistic.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Pink Floyd sync to The Wizard of Oz.
All right. Lock it in. That is a very popular Wives' tale, old wives' tale. That's not true. It's not. I mean, Pink Floyd is tired of answering questions about it. They didn't. The Wizard of Oz had nothing to do with Dark Side of the Moon. Now, there's been a cut of the album that they specifically did to synchronize with the Wizard of Oz. But this old tale or this old fable, this common misconception that the Dark Side of the Moon and the Wizard of Oz have anything to do with each other is not true. No, Angela Lansbury, back in the day, was living in Hollywood. Her daughter was getting in with the wrong crowd. And she said, we're out of here. We got to get you away from this weirdo. And man, forget about Murder, She Wrote. Boy, she nailed that one. Because that guy turned out to be Charles Manson. Not very many mentions of Charles Manson on the radio anymore. All right, there you go. Tom, it's been a little while, so you rest up for the bonus round. Joe, you're back front and center. You know how this works.
Oh, yeah. Seasoned vet at this point.
All right, here we go, Joe. Number one, the first John Wick movie was originally going to be titled Midnight Threat, but they were forced to scrap that title after an episode of The Office where Michael Scott writes a script which is titled Threat Level Midnight. Number two, there are 96 bags of human poop on the moon. Number three, Matthew McConaughey keeps his Oscar in the bathroom of his house so that guests can give Oscar speeches in the mirror without feeling self-conscious. Or number four, Dr. Seuss stole the concept of the Grinch. So again, to recap, as Joe kind of formulates his thoughts, the first John Wick movie, originally going to be titled Midnight Threat, but had to be scrapped because of the Office episode where Michael Scott writes Threat Level Midnight. Number two, there are 96 bags of human poop on the moon. Number three, Matthew McConaughey keeps his Oscar in the bathroom so guests to his house can give Oscar speeches without feeling too self-conscious. Or number four, Dr. Seuss stole the concept of the Grinch.
I'm going to go with Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss.
Lock it in.
All right. Dr. Seuss had a lot of things that were not necessarily good. No, but he did not, so far as we know, steal the concept of the Grinch. So that one is... So now you're down to the John Wick movie, the human poop on the moon, or Matthew McConaughey?
Give me McConaughey. It feels like something he would do.
Yeah, it does feel that way. That's why I put that in there. No, it's not Matthew McConaughey. No, that is incorrect. So now you're down to John Wick or poop.
Give me John Wick.
John Wick. Lock it in. No, that's also incorrect. No, there's a lot of garbage that's on the moon. And it I don't know why you wouldn't bring back. I guess you can't bring back the poop.
The smell. Come on. We don't want them.
Well, they're NASA. The they can come up with a bag that keeps the smell in. They're just desecrating the moon.
Could also incinerate it, too. That's an option.
Well, I don't know what technologies they had when we were going to the moon.
Also, why are we putting it in bags? It's space.
Well, I don't think you want the poop just floating around in space. You got to be able to control. There's a whole process there. You can't just
hike
down your
up
pants
in space
while you're sitting on the moon.
Well, just put out the chute. There
you
has
can't
to
be mooning on the moon just because it's called the moon. That doesn't mean you get to moon. No, this is not a very specific number, 96 bags of it. All right, there you go. All right, so I'm kind of pitching like a perfect game here. This is like an immaculate inning so far.
And there it goes.
It generally is. That is the way it happens. All right, so the last one, we reverse it. This time there is one lie, three truths, and Joe and Tom get to hook up and kind of join forces to see if they can either of them get it right. All right, here we go. Number one, in the 1985 cocaine scandal that ensnared Major League Baseball, the cocaine use was so widespread that even the Pirates mascot, the Pirate Parrot, was implicated for using coke. Number two, even though his movies have grossed an estimated $9 billion, Harrison Ford has never been nominated for an Oscar. Number three, the actor Peter O'Toole once accidentally cut off the tip of his finger in a boating accident, but thinking quickly, he dropped the tip of the finger in some brandy before placing it back in place and wrapping it with a bandage. It was only after he removed the bandage 2 weeks later he discovered he had placed the finger the wrong way. Or number four, Walmart was never successful in Germany. One of the big issues they had, customers felt like the excess of smiling of the workers was off-putting. So again, to recap, 85, the cocaine scandal in baseball was so widespread that even the Pirates' mascot was using coke. Number two, even though his movies have made $9 billion, Harrison Ford has never been nominated for an Oscar. Number three, Peter O'Toole once accidentally cut off his finger, put it back the wrong way after putting it in some brandy. Or number four, Walmart never successful in Germany because of all the smiling.
I know where I'm going.
All right, Joe, lock it in. What do you got?
I'll lock in Walmart in Germany.
All right, Walmart in Germany. You like that one as being the lie. Again, this is to spot the lie now. Tom, you got anything to feel strongly about?
I'm going to go with the thumb on the wrong way or the finger, whichever one
it was. Finger
on
the wrong way. All right,
that's the one I'm locking in.
Yeah, okay. I can tell you you're both wrong. No, Peter O'Toole actually cut off a piece of his finger, put it on the wrong... It seems like you should be able to know which way... The nail is the dead giveaway, but apparently, I don't know. The brandy, I don't think he had to go to a shelf to get the brandy. Maybe he was hanging out with Donovan in Atlantic City. Who knows? And Walmart in the 90s, not successful in Germany, and the customers didn't like all the smiling going on. So, okay, so now you're down to two. One of these is a lie. Was it that the pirate mascot was even implicated in the Major League Baseball cocaine scandal of 85? Or was it that Harrison Ford has never been nominated for an Oscar?
I'm going to lock in Harrison Ford's never been nominated as the lie.
Okay.
Even though I want this to be true, I'm going to go pirate mascot in 85.
Okay. Well, obviously, one of you is right. One of you is wrong. And Tom, you're right. You have the right answer. Yeah, Harrison Ford has only been nominated for one Oscar, the movie Witness. I don't know. That's a long time ago, Witness. But that's the lie there. No, the 85 cocaine scandal, even the Pirates mascot. That cocaine was flowing everywhere. So there you go, people. That is what I learned this week on TikTok. And now because of this segment, you have learned it too. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Coming up, we still have to talk some baseball with the Yankees, the Mets. And also there was, you ever see a story and it makes you think to yourself, are people actually this dumb? And then you find out the answer is yes, people are actually this dumb. There was one of those stories this week, and I'll tell you what story that is coming up next. It's the Gordon Damer Show. It's 98.7 FM, ESPN New York.
Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
I always felt like Pink Floyd. There were certain bands you had to kind of be like Donovan to really, the people that were really into them. Grateful Dead, Pink Floyd. It felt like there had to be some supplements in enjoying the music.
But, 100%.
Yeah. All right. It is the Gordon Damer Show. It is 98.7 FM, ESPN New York. We take you up until 3 o'clock. We had focused on a lot of Knicks stuff, and we'll get back into that at 1-800-919-ESPN. Knicks and Sixers, our coverage gets underway 5:30. So a lot of opinions, and we'll continue to take your receipts right up until 3 o'clock. If you want to get in and say, I knew this was going to happen, good, bad, indifferent, certainly that is the number, 1-800-919-ESPN. We've talked a little bit NFL draft with the Jets and Giants. We still have to touch on the baseball. I feel like, now this can't possibly be true, but I feel like the over-under for how many times I watched that Juan Soto home run since last night is probably roughly a billion. I feel like I've watched it a billion times. But we'll get into some baseball stuff before we get out of here at 3 o'clock. But you ever find yourself watching something or hearing something? You think to yourself, well, that people, they can't be that stupid. But they keep going on and they show you that they are. There's nothing good. When you're a sports fan, there's nothing good from when news people cover sports stories. Because it's one of two things. Either they don't do any research, because it's clear they are ill-informed. So either A, they've done no research to kind of find out anything pertinent about any part of the story, or they have done the research, but it just doesn't fit the story that they want to tell. And they want to maybe stir up their fan base or stir up their viewers or stir up their listeners because they think that those people are dumb. There's dumbness somewhere along the way. So this week, we had the WNBA draft. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark for being the first pick in the WNBA draft. The lockiest of lock bets in the hit. I tried to bet just to see what it would be, and it was off the board. You couldn't even bet on it because it was that much of a lock. And there was a lot of interest this year in the WNBA draft. 2.4 million people tuned in to watch her be drafted number one. And that was over a 300% increase in the viewership of the WNBA the year before. She is, even though she's not played a game as of yet in the WNBA, she is clearly the face of the WNBA. So congratulations to her. The league, the WNBA, has kind of been on the upswing here the last couple of years. And now with Caitlin Clark joining it and her popularity that she brings to the table immediately, it's not building. She already has brought that to the table. Hopefully this means now that the league will be even more pertinent and more popular and all those good things. But, you know, shortly after she was drafted, the story started to focus on what her salary will be coming in as the number one overall pick, the top pick in the draft. As the top pick in the draft, because there is a players union and there's a league and it's a collectively bargained situation, there's a collective bargaining agreement between the two sides, the rookie pay scale for the number one overall pick is a four-year contract worth $338,000. 4 years, $338,000. That's not $338,000 per year. That's for the total for the 4 years. It's like 70, it changes from each year, but starts at like $77,000, and then it grows over those first 4 years. And the takeaway has been, because in sports contracts these days, the numbers are so inflated and so large because leagues make so much money, and that money, rightfully so, filters down to the players. The narrative that has come has been, well, there's outrage on how low the total. Wait until you hear how little Caitlin Clark is going to be making playing in the WNBA. And this is not just the outer fringe. This is not people that are making TikToks or making social media posts. These are people in high-paying media jobs, reporters, TV hosts, show hosts, hell, all the way up to the White House, as if there's nothing else going on in the world right now than Caitlin Clark's salary. But the narrative has been, well, Caitlin Clark is not being paid her fair share. So this is coming from people who clearly don't follow sports at all, have no knowledge on the topic whatsoever. And you've heard the phrase, fake it until you make it. These people aren't even going to fake it. They're not even going to do the most basic Google search to figure out, well, there's this question I have, and it seems really kind of outlandish. I wonder what the answer is. Well, let me go on the computer and see if I can figure it out on my own before I make a fool of myself on television or radio or on social media or on any of these platforms. Let me maybe see if I can find out what the answer is. But these are people who don't follow sports at all and can't even fake it. So they'll go to the fact that, well, her shockingly low rookie, she's only going to make $76,000. What's shocking is how people who get paid to provide information and their opinions could have so little information and such misguided opinions. It's like talking to a toddler. Because if you know anything at all about the WNBA, you know up until this point, it has not been popular and it's not been profitable. It has not made money. You don't have to know anything about the WNBA without knowing that the league has not done well financially. Now, it exists. It's buoyed by the fact that the NBA is paying some of the freight there, and it is growing, and it is moving in the right direction, but it's got a long way to go. But for talking heads who have been shouting this and kind of stirring people up, They always it always it's like paint by numbers. The reports are always the same report. Some will say, who says? People are outraged. What people? Who's outraged? The sum that you're talking about, do they know what the hell they're talking about? I'm guessing probably not. Because what Caitlin Clark is making as a rookie, well, can you believe it? Have you ever paid attention to it in any way? Because you should know that the WNBA is not a profitable league. They have not done well financially. It's part of the reason why Caitlin Clark and her popularity is such a big story. Because now it feels like that the thing that things have shifted, and because of her popularity, it's going to gain more eyeballs and it's going to grow at a level that is even exceeding what it was already growing at. Yes. But the paint by numbers continues the same way. Well, the men's number one pick, Victor Wembanyama, he's making $12 million. $12 million to $76,000. How can this be? Well, it's based on the fact that they're businesses. What do you mean, how could it be? How could it not be? The WNBA, I was trying to find some numbers, and it's tough to pin down exactly, but according to the most optimistic numbers that I saw, the WNBA will generate roughly $200 million. That's not their profit. I don't believe they've ever turned a profit, but they make, in general, about $200 million as a league. The NBA makes $10.5 billion a year as a league. That's a pretty big... People hear million and billion, and they don't realize how big of a difference it is. I brought this up before. If you were to count to a million, it would take you 11 days. If you counted to a billion, it would take you 32 years. That's the difference between a million and a billion. It's a really wide gap. I know that million and billion kind of sound the same, and there's only one letter difference. How different can they be? No, they're really different. If you took $1 million and you laid it end to end, that line of money would go on for 95 miles. If you did that to $1 billion, it would wrap around the globe almost four times. It's a really big difference. So all these reports and reporters using the same stupid talking points, just do the most basic research and you would know the answer to your question. And the answer to the question is the NBA is the third most profitable sports league in the world. The WNBA, at least according to the research I saw, was 88th. 88th. A league where they play half the schedule. Why do you think that they play half the schedule? Why do you think that there's only, what, 12 or 14 teams? First round picks in that league get cut all the time. Big name players play overseas all the time because they're trying to make money because there's not much money in the WNBA. Now, maybe Caitlin Clark will be able to change that. Her impact will bring in more fans and it'll bring in more views. And eventually that will filter into contracts for players and profits for teams and the league and TV contracts and all those type of things. But if you are one of the people upset over the pay, and this is really what it gets down to for all the talking heads, be it Whoopi Goldberg on The View or CBS Morning Show or Good Morning America, you're all making millions of dollars. How many games have you attended? How many have you bought your season tickets yet? There's teams in all these cities, right? If you're in LA or if you're in New York or if you're in Chicago, wherever you may be, have you bought a jersey or two? Have you bought your season tickets? But if your takeaway from seeing what Caitlin Clark's salary is and your first reaction was, well, the men make this much more. Of course they do. They bring in a whole lot more money. And forget about it being a sport or a league or any. It's a business. It's all based on business. So if you want to pay... if you want to open up a business and pay your employees 47 times more than what your revenue is, let me see how your business does. I'm guessing you're going to be out of business before too long. It's not surprising. It's not shocking. It's not worth outrage. It's basic numbers. And if you did even the most basic research, because again, as I tell you all the time, I'm not smart. I am not a smart person. So if I'm able to figure it out, you should be able to figure it out.
Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Are you ready to roll yet? Knicks, Sixers, our coverage comes up. 5:30, game one. Please just go out there and handle your business. Just go out there. Let's not, I don't want drama in the yard. There's plenty of time for drama later on. But save the drama for your mama in game one. Go out there, Knicks, and handle your business. Take care of these Sixers. Shut up all these people that are telling, oh, the Sixers, bad matchup for the Knicks. All right. Joel Embiid is going up and down the court on one leg. All right, we'll see. We'll see. So we've been talking a lot about the Knicks today. We've been talking about some NFL draft. Caitlin Clark and her salary. Oh, my God, it's an outrage. People are upset. Simply put, if you are one of those people that's upset or outraged about what Caitlin Clark is making, I would just simply ask you, how many tickets have you bought? How many tickets have you bought tickets to your local WNBA? I get that she's playing in Indiana, so you can't buy maybe tickets to go see her because she's in Indiana and you're here. But if it's an outrage, if you're furious, well, then there's one way to fix it. You have the power. You have the power. Go and watch the games and buy the jerseys and check out the games on TV and hand over your money to show that you are truly interested in a product. And I'm guessing the overwhelming majority of people who are saying that they're upset or they're outraged have never been to a game in their life and didn't even know this was going on, clearly, right? Because they don't even realize that the WNBA up until now has never been profitable. So what would you expect them to get paid? And this is a little uncomfortable. Maybe I shouldn't go down this road. But if you're saying that the NBA should be handing more money over to the WNBA, they should share the profits, kind of sounds like charity. Kind of sounds like you're saying that the women's league can't handle it on their own and you need the men to kind of back you up. Sounds like to me. 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number, 1-800-919-3776. Now, in terms of the baseball stuff, as I said before, Juan Soto, that home run last night, there's not many moments in an April baseball game that are going to get you fired up. But man, that got me fired up because that, when they made that deal, was that December? I think it was early December. It was right after my birthday. That's the only reason why I remember that when they got Soto from the Padres. That's what you envision. Now, you don't envision it necessarily just simply in April games, clearly, right? It's about October and it's about big moments later on in the season. But that's kind of what the expectation or the vision that you have in your mind, game-changing home run late in the game, taking a loss and making it a win, that's the vision you had dancing in your head. And again, it's about bigger games than an April game or anything like that on April 19th or whatever. It's about October. But at least so far, based on the evidence that we have, so, and it's not really a shock, that move's worked out pretty well. It could not have worked out any better. Juan Soto has been just about as perfect as you could be. Of course, that won't stop people from trying to ruin it because all year long we're going to... Are we going to do the whole Juan Soto could sign with the Mets the whole year? We're just going to do that the whole year long? John Heyman this week had Juan Soto and a Pete Alonso, they could wind up swapping places. No, they're... Stop it. Stop it. Can we just not ruin it? Can we not do this thing whole season that the Mets are going to sign Soto? Could they? Yeah, he's going to be a free agent almost certainly. Right, okay. So maybe Soto, at the end of the day, only cares about money and he is simply going to go to the place that offers him the most money. That's possible, right? That's clearly possible. And maybe, just maybe, Steve Cohen will be the guy you all think he is where he won't take no for an answer. Now, that hasn't always been the case. It wasn't the way with Judge. He didn't even get involved in that bidding. And it wasn't the way with Yamamoto, where he came and gave the same offer as the Dodgers did and lost out. So maybe Steve Cohen will be this guy you guys all think he is, where he's just going to pull out the checkbook and put a blank check and everything else. But the idea that the Yankees would lose out on Soto and then turn around and sign Pete Alonso, I don't even know if Donovan in Atlantic City would float that one. The Yankees are going to take that money and invest it in a 30-year-old first baseman, sign him to a monster contract, a right-handed hitting power bat who's a bad fielder, poor foot speed. I mean, they already got one of them. They got Giancarlo Stanton. So I'm pretty sure, again, I don't know what's going to happen with Juan Soto after the season. Maybe he leaves. It feels like it's a perfect fit here and everything is going well. And if you're the Yankees and you know he's a free agent, you know the numbers, you're going to figure out a way to get that done. But maybe that turns out to be not the case and he does sign someplace else. And maybe he signs with the Mets. I think it's unlikely, but maybe. But I'll tell you right now, if the Yankees actually lost out on Juan Soto and then invested what would be necessary to sign Pete Alonso to a contract, they would be out of their minds. That, I can tell you, is never, ever going to happen. All right, 1-800-919-ESPN is the telephone number. Let's go to Sam is in San Antonio. Sam, what's going on, my man?
Good afternoon, Gordon. I hope all is well with you and your family and the guys behind the glass as well. It's been a minute since we spoke. Gordon, you know I love you, and but you really disappointed me today, man. How dare you actually do your job and use logic and reason for this whole WNBA salary thing, man?
I don't know what I was thinking.
And you know what? For the White House to get involved, just like you said, I agree 1,000%. Dude,
there's
nothing else going on in the world
than
nothing.
Caitlin Clark's salary?
And you know what? Forget about the world. How about within our own borders?
Right. That's
Gordon, I'm actually concerned for your job's sake at this point, because you're actually doing your job and not just going with the narrative. That set aside, the Mets, aside from the 0-5 start where I was banging my head against the wall, I'm pleasantly surprised with what's going on. I'm not going to bring up any negative that's going on with the injuries and such. I'm just pleasantly pleased. I'm hoping that they can just hold above water and come around the All-Star break. Maybe we'll bring in some cavalry. This is the team that we have, and they're putting the best out there at this point. I'm a little bit concerned about the pen. They're doing great at this point. But with the starters only going five, they're going to get exposed. So something has to give with the pitching. But so far, I can't be mad. What is it, five in a row? I'm really pleased with what they did last night, especially going against Yamamoto, which another thing, if you read all the posts and the comments that everybody's ripping on Yamamoto, that's another thing about a little parallel about the WNBA salary with ripping on Yamamoto. People, they're still human beings. The guy is thousands of miles away. It's a different size ball that they use in Japan. And if correct me if I'm wrong here, Gordon, is the distance from the mound a little bit shorter in Japan ball versus the MLB?
I know there are smaller differences. Sam. I'm not sure. I know about the weight of the ball. I'm not sure about the distance in the mound.
And the ball is also a little bit smaller in Japan. But the distance, I'm not 100% sure about.
Have an extra day of rest and all that type of stuff. Yeah. Now, look, there's an adjustment period, and thanks for the phone call. And look, if you're a Met fan, you should feel great about where your team is at and how your team is playing. The amount of people that I heard saying that the Mets after 0-5 would never be over 500. I mean, guys, slowly. Again, it's April. It's like reviewing a movie while the opening credits are still being played. Now, am I skeptical that the Mets can keep up this level of play where they're winning 8 out? Of course, nobody wins 8 out of 10 over an entire season. And I think that the Mets will probably find themselves somewhere in the middle of the pack, kind of floating a little above 500, a little below 500. I think the pitching eventually will catch up to. And in the best case scenario, you kind of hang around for the majority of the season. And then when you get to the trade deadline, maybe, as you said, maybe there are reinforcements that are added to the team and you get into the playoffs and away you go. And then in the offseason, then the spending really, you're hoping to kind of build a good foundation and then supplement that in the offseason. But yeah, to get worked up over anything really that happens in April in a baseball season, you're basically telling me you've never experienced a baseball season before. Andre is in Red Bank. Andre, what's going on?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Andre.
Yeah, you know, when I heard this whole story about Caitlin Clark, I just thought to myself, well, wow, this is really old news, because it came up back when Brittany Griner was in Russia and people were wondering, right, like, what was she doing in Russia? And but it just didn't register there, you know, maybe because she's, you know, a lesbian, and also I guess she's, people think she's unpatriotic. I don't know how that all started.
Well, she just doesn't, even as good a player as she is, she's not as, you know, Caitlin Clark is kind of a phenomenon. She's kind of like the Beatles, right? Like, so she's going to get more attention. But yeah, if you're doing even like,
right, but
you don't even have to be a close viewer of the WNBA, yeah, to know that it's not been a profitable league.
Yeah, but there were New York Times stories about the fact that why Brittany Griner happened to be playing in,
right,
Russia, and
big
there was
name
another
players
player.
Play overseas, yep.
Yeah, Diana Taurasi, I remember a few years
Super,
ago, she actually chose
as well.
To,
yep.
Yeah, to, she sat out a WNBA season because she wanted to make money in, you know, over in Europe. So it's like old news, but it's obviously people just have not been paying attention and until now. And, you know, some people really got made a fool of by the fact that to come out so strongly on this and really
well,
not
they
know.
They should be, but I don't know that they have.
Known thing.
Yeah, I don't know, Andre. I don't know, and thanks for the phone call. I don't know that they have been made the fool because I don't know that they've even done the research now to realize how stupid their comments were. And I think that the reason why they jump on stories like this is because it fits a narrative that they want to push, but it's not based in reality. So if your takeaway from seeing what Caitlin Clark is making for her rookie season and then comparing it to what Victor Wembanyama is making, it makes no sense. They're two completely different things. One league is, again, I think the third most profitable sports league in the entire globe, and the other one has been a fledgling league that has not made a profit in any season, and whether or not they do moving forward still kind of remains to be seen. Well, the TV contract, do you think that they just made the TV contract now? Well, the salaries are... Yes, they don't make a profit. How much do you think that the players should be paid? If the league is not making a profit, you think that the league should go deeper into their pockets and lose even more money to pay the players when they're not returning a profit on what they're paying them already? Doesn't make any sense. Dan is in New Jersey. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, Gordon, a long time no talk. How about the disrespect Knicks getting, man? It's honestly insane. And I forget the guy's name, but the player that said, like, you know, the Knicks are the easiest matchup, they better have a poster of that inside the locker room at MSG. But my point, and I was telling the screener, was I try to look at it from the other side. Like, if I'm a Philly fan, and I'm saying we got to double-team Brunson and make sure, you know, he doesn't get the ball, obviously good luck with that, and force another, you know, another player to try to beat us. So I think my point is, like, obviously Josh Hart has to come up big. I'd like to see him hit some more threes. DiVincenzo has to be on his game. And I think Bogdanović is actually the X factor.
Absolutely.
In terms of, like, that power forward spot. Maybe give Hartenstein a rest and give Achiuwa, you know, a chance because he seems to be good at, you know, getting those blocks and being good on the rebounding, see what he could do against Embiid, even though Rachel Robbins is a little taller. But I've seen Achiuwa hit more free throws. So just want to get your thoughts on that. And, for everybody listening, Let's go, Knicks.
Look, here's the thing, and Dan, thanks for the phone call. I don't know that the Knicks are being disrespected, per se. It's just people feel like it's a close series. I think it is going to be a close series. I think they are two good teams going up against each other, and it's going to depend on kind of how things play out. I don't think it's a blowout series. I don't think that – I haven't seen anybody pick the Sixers in a sweep. That would be disrespect. Simply saying that you think the Sixers could win the series, I don't think is outrageous. I disagree. But I don't know that that's necessarily disrespect. If you want to take it that way, and I hope the team does take it that way, I want them to find whatever motivations in the world that they need. I don't really think that they're going to need any motivations because they're going to be playing game one at the Garden tonight, and it's going to be absolutely rocking. As far as Bogdanović, yeah, I think that he is the X factor because if the Knicks are not, if they're not getting offense from DiVincenzo and OG, that's a real problem because those guys are like staples of the offense at this point. Whereas with Bogdanović, he was brought here to excel from shooting from the outside, and that was the Knicks' issue in the playoffs last year, and you're kind of hoping that he's going to be part of the improvement in that area, especially in this series.
Now back to the Gordon Damer Show on 98.7 ESPN. It's never full.
At this stage of my life, eating is like 90% of my joy.
Where he answers the unanswerable.
Got to do something with my hands. I got to get busy.
No algorithm can defeat the GD.
Just take it right in the face. Right in the face. Don't worry about it.
These are Gordon Damer's leftovers.
I figured I'd get the nice thing about the show being earlier today. Hey, I'll get done. I'll be able to watch like the last four or five innings of the Yankee game. The Yankee game's in the eighth inning already. The game's going to be over by the time I get off the air. But no, it is time for the leftovers. It's time for all the things that we've not gotten a chance to talk about in the course of the show. Joe and Tom have some issues to bring up. Which one of you is going first?
I'll go first. And speaking of the Yankees, I just want to extend more gratitude towards John Sterling with his day at the stadium today. Yankee baseball, I don't know it without John Sterling at the helm of it. All of his home run calls, my personal favorite is a Georgie juiced one for Jorge Posada. So I just wanted to, you know, extend an olive branch and, you know, give John Sterling his proper due for the time being right now.
What a run. An incredible run. The amount of success, the calls that people, that he made, that people will be listening to forever. He's one of a kind, and as a Yankee fan, back when he started, the Yankees were not great. So he was entertaining at a time when the team was not entertaining, and then when the team got good, he was even better, and he captured moments so well. And I think the best nickname to me is still the first one he came up with. Burn, baby, burn is fantastic. The one that he had, what was the guy's name? Yangervis Solarte.
Yangervis Solarte.
That was fantastic as well. From big to small. We wish nothing but the best for John Sterling. Tom, what do you got, my friend?
So, completely random one to end the show. Me, Joe, and Dan were joking earlier. We saw a bunch of NFL players are at some fishing event instead of called the Sport Fishing Championship.
Okay.
Apparently, Jameis Winston is going to be one of the commentators today. For what reason? I don't know, but I think he's got a good future in the media. Now, here's a weird question that he got asked that everybody was dying to know, and I'm going to play the cut of it. Jameis Winston, what would you do if you were a fish?
I would definitely swim lower in the bottom of the ocean, and I make some friend buddies, you know, like Finding Nemo style, you know? Like, I would find Dory, you know, team up with ride a sea turtle, you know? I would just swim and enjoy the cold water, salty water, staying hydrated.
With 45 seconds left in the show, Gordon, what would you do if you were a fish?
Well, they say that there's no such thing as a stupid question. Anybody who's been on jury duty knows that that's not true, and that's another example of it right now. I have no idea what I would do as a fish. I would do fish things. I would be even dumber than I am right now. So I wouldn't. I don't know what I would assume that. Yes, I would just swim and try not to be eaten by a bigger fish. I would guess. All right, that's good. I mean, a weird way to end the show, but there you go. And I could see Jameis being a good, bring some personality to it. But that's going to do it for today. Larry and I, we are back Monday night following game two. But of course, tonight it is game one, 5:30. Be here, Knicks, Sixers. We will talk to you Monday night. See ya.